A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Welcome to another edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. My name is Cam Edwards. I am glad to be back behind the microphone talking to you once again. And before we get started, I just want to thank you for all of the thoughts and the prayers and the support that you have given me and my family, not just over the past couple of weeks since the death of my wife, Missy, but really over the past 8 years through her entire fight with cancer. We will have a TMI update for you at the end of the program, but I would be remiss if I did not start this show by saying thank you. So thank you. Now, let's talk about what's going on in the world of the Second Amendment, particularly what's going on with the Supreme Court and our right to keep and bear arms. The Supreme Court denying cert in two cases today. One of them, Maryland Shall Issue versus Moore. This was a challenge to Maryland's handgun qualification license, basically a permission slip to keep a handgun in your home. But not just a permission slip, right? You've got to have training. There's a de facto 30-day waiting period that goes along with this licensing regime. And the Supreme Court decided not to hear that challenge. They also turned away a case called Gray versus Jennings. Now, this deals with Delaware's ban on so-called assault weapons and large-capacity magazines. But specifically, it involved a challenge to a denial to a preliminary injunction, in which the Third Circuit Court of Appeals essentially said that we're not going to even investigate whether or not this type of prohibition amounts to irreparable harm to people's civil rights, which, again, I think is very much the case, that you are irreparably harmed if you cannot possess legally some of the most commonly owned firearms in the country. But the Supreme Court has made it pretty clear over the past couple of years that it is not interested in hearing cases on an emergency basis or cases dealing with preliminary injunctions. It wants these cases to be fully briefed and decided on the merits before it grants cert. So not particularly surprised that Gray versus Jennings was rejected. A little bit more surprised that Maryland Shall Issue was turned away. But perhaps most importantly, the Supreme Court kept alive, at least for another week, challenges to Maryland's ban on so-called assault weapons. This is a Snope versus Brown. Also a challenge to Rhode Island's ban on large-capacity magazines. This is Ocean State Tactical versus Narana. And I wanted to talk about this. When I invited Mark Walters from Armed American Radio on the program over the weekend, I was hoping that we would have better news to discuss instead. Sort of an exercise in frustration and concern here with Snope and Ocean State Tactical still out there in the ether. But we had this conversation nonetheless, wanted to get Mark's take, and he gave it. So take a look and a listen to Mark Walters from Armed American Radio talking about what's going on at the Supreme Court. Mark, thanks so much for joining me on the program today. It's good to see you, sir.
Oh, Cam, it's an honor to be here. Godspeed to you and your family, brother, for everything that you've gone through. I hope all of our prayers are continuing to lift you up.
They are. It has been a big help. I will tell you, knowing that there are folks out there, so many folks who are there if I need them, And I will say, for those who are going through tough times, do not hesitate. Do not be afraid to reach out. It is not a sign of weakness. It is a sign of strength. It is a sign, again, that there are folks who love you. So if there are others, again, in similar situations, you don't have to be a tough guy. You don't have to, build up that wall. Take advantage of the support that is there for you as well. And I certainly have. So I appreciate the kind words, Mark. I really do.
Well, I can tell you that my listening audience was all over it. You've got a lot of fans out there, brother. So keep feeling that love and that support. We love you, man.
I appreciate it so much. All right, let's talk about something we don't love quite as much, Mark. And that's what is going on at the Supreme Court. We saw the rejection of two cases today. One, Maryland Shall Issue versus Moore. This was the challenge to Maryland's handgun qualification license. All of the hoops and hurdles that you need to jump through the de facto 30-day waiting period simply to keep a handgun in your home. The Supreme Court decided not to grant cert to that case. They also turned away a challenge called the Gray versus Jennings. Now, this maybe a little bit more understandable. This is a challenge to Delaware's ban on so-called assault weapons, but it is still in a preliminary injunction phase. And the Supreme Court has made it pretty clear, I think, since Bruin, they don't want to get involved in these disputes at an early stage, right? They want to wait until these cases have been fully decided on the merits, which was the case with Maryland Shall Issue versus Moore, right? So let's start there. Let's start with the cases that were rejected, and then we'll talk about the cases that the court held on to. How big a deal is it to you, Mark, and how big a deal is it to the Second Amendment that the Supreme Court is allowing this very restrictive handgun licensing regime to remain in place in the state of Maryland? Again, this isn't about carrying. This is about keeping in your home.
The honest answer to that, because I haven't had a lot of time to process this yet and really put a form and opinion on it because the news is just coming out. My honest answer to that, Cam, is I don't know yet. And part of the reason I say that is because we don't, and we will likely never know why the Supreme Court rejected that case. We don't know. Did it have something to do with Bruin? Is there something in the pike down the road that we're unaware of? What was it they didn't like about that case? It's unfortunate. You know, I was talking with Mr. Gottlieb, as you know, on my program last night. We were focusing specifically on the three Second Amendment Foundation cases that were up before the court. One of them, of course, I know we're going to get to, and that's the Maryland Fourth Circuit case, which meets the criteria that you just laid out that the other case, the Gray case, doesn't meet yet. We were maybe hoping that they would combine those two, but I understand why at this point. But I don't know that, honestly, I don't know the answer to that question, and I don't think we'll ever find that out. It's always disheartening when we know that something is right, we know that something needs to be looked at, we know that something needs to be fixed because it's wrong, and we don't get the result that we want. And you know what that points to is this is why we do what we do. This is why we have to fight every single day. And I mean every single day. Ladies and gentlemen, viewers, listeners, this, they're not going away. And this is evidence of that. So it's highly likely that there were three or four justices on the court that wanted to take that case. But for whatever reason, we will never know. The others did not. So I don't really know the answer to that question. I'm just being honest up front. I don't know yet.
Yeah. No, listen, it's a fair point. And, you know, you brought up something else that I think is really important, right? It takes four justices to agree to hear a case, but of course, it takes five to win.
Right.
And if there are four justices who are ready to hear a case, but they know that fifth vote isn't there, I can see them voting to deny cert, right? Why risk a precedential decision that would apply nationwide if it's not going to go your way? So I can understand if, you know, but again, that would suggest that fifth vote isn't there, right? That maybe you've got Thomas, Alito, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, but you're still looking at Amy Coney Barrett, you're still looking at Chief Justice John Roberts as, you know, barriers to undoing some of these gun control laws. And that brings us to that Fourth Circuit case, that other Fourth Circuit case that you mentioned, which has been fully briefed on the merits, right? Snope versus Brown started out as Bianchi versus the Attorney General, Bianchi versus Frosch. So the plaintiffs and the defendants have all changed because this case has been going on for so long. But this case has been fully decided. It is a challenge to Maryland's ban on so-called assault weapons. And this case was held over. So the Supreme Court did not deny cert. They did not grant cert. They held on to that case. They also held on to a case called Ocean State Tactical versus Narana, which is a challenge to Rhode Island's ban on so-called large capacity magazines. And so, you know, those cases are still alive, Mark. You know, the pessimistic view is, okay, well, maybe they're just giving, you know, the justices time to write a dissent about why they would have chosen to accept this case, but the case has been rejected. The optimistic version is that, well, no, there is the fifth vote there to accept these cases. And it's just taking a little bit of time. Maybe they're, you know, allowing the liberal wing of the court to write a dissent as to why they feel this case should not have been taken. I don't know. You know, again, you said you don't really know what the import of the rejection of Maryland Shall Issue is at this moment. I don't know if we should be more concerned or optimistic right now about Snope and Ocean State Tactical, given the court's lack of movement.
Let's approach it from both ways. Let's approach it from the optimistic side and then approach it from the pessimistic side. This is a case that we feel confident. I'm my personal opinion. I feel pretty confident that the court is likely to take this case. Why? Because it has been through that entire process. We have to go back to when it was GVR'd to begin with. Why was it GVR'd? Because this was post-Bruin, freshly post-Bruin. So I understand what the court was doing. Let the lower courts work their magic. Let them do what it is they do. Let's see how they respond to this. Then we'll take another look at this case. They knew that was going to happen, regardless of which way it went, in whose favor. And that case, as you know, the Fourth Circuit did something highly unusual. The Fourth Circuit knew they were going to get a three-judge panel that likely was going to rule in favor of the Second Amendment. So what did the Fourth Circuit do? And this is where politics infects our courts, right? The entire Fourth Circuit, in a very unusual move, decided to hear this case in total. And they upheld Maryland's ban, setting the perfect storm for Thomas to be able to write a decision that we all know he wants to write. Now, the Fourth Circuit sat on this for months and months and months. If we approach this from both the optimistic and pessimistic side, the optimistic side of this says, good, I'm glad they did what they did. Yes, we have to wait. Yes, it stinks that we have to wait. However, by waiting, now we have all of our cards laid on the table, and it appears that the court is poised to take this case. You and I both know that at least Alito and Thomas want this decision badly. I know Thomas, we've talked about this countless times. Thomas would love to go out and retire on putting to bed these Second Amendment issues that he finds so important, this one being one of them. This is a banning of an entire class of firearms that happen to be the most popular in America. As you know, and our viewers probably know, more AR-15s in law-abiding citizens' hands than there are F-150 pickup trucks. How many times have we used that analogy?
Right.
That is huge, and it works in our favor because we have previous Supreme Court decisions that say you cannot ban a class of firearms that are in common use. So we feel really confident about this case. What we have to do is get this through the conference process and get this case granted cert again, all right, so we can get that decision. I feel comfortable about that. I'd like to have an answer on that as we sat and speak. It would be really nice to talk about the fact that they're taking that case right now. The pessimistic side says to me, it says, what happens if they refuse at this point? What happens next? Because if we win this case, the ramifications to this across the spectrum are enormous. This will wipe out any future gun ban of any class of firearm there is ever. It will literally put it to bed. So that's the importance of this Marilyn Snopes case right now. The pessimistic side says, good heavens, if we lose this, what next? It's a loss if we don't get cert on this case right away.
Yeah.
I'm not even talking about a future decision from the Supreme Court. If we get cert on this case, I feel pretty confident, as does the Second Amendment Foundation and just about every other group leader out there, that we're going to win this case. But that pessimistic side says, good heavens, what next? So you talk about magazine bans. As you know, there's another case going on in Washington. Those cases are still alive. They're not moving as quickly as we would like. But this case is so vital and so critical, and it checks every single box there is for cert in this case. If we don't get that, oh, good heavens. Can you see another case out there without Gray coming up behind it if it weren't combined? What happens next? Do we have to wait for an Illinois case to work its way through? I don't know the answer to that question. So it's critical that we move this. It's critical that this case moves. And I right now, as we talk, I feel pretty good about it. I'm keeping my eternal optimism alive, and I'm trying to put that positive vibe out to the universe. That's the way it works. And I want you to do it too, viewers, okay?
It's critical. Absolutely.
It's very important.
Yeah, I mean, and there are some other cases. I mean, you mentioned the Illinois cases. There is the challenge to California's ban on so-called assault weapons. I think that's Miller versus Bonta. It's so hard to keep track of all of the California cases. So there are some other opportunities, but I think you're right. If the court does not grant cert to Snopes, and to a lesser degree, I think, and not much of a lesser degree, Ocean State Tactical, which is the magazine ban case, I think that is a loss, right? Because it empowers and emboldens the gun control advocates. I mean, you can look at this, you know, gun ban bill that was just introduced in Colorado, right? Which is pretty much an outright semi-auto ban when it comes to long guns. We're going to see more of this. And, you know, this really will embolden the gun control advocates. And they're going to try to do as much as they can, knowing they're not going to be able to get their way in Congress, right? Knowing that a majority of the state legislatures are opposed to their point of view. But in those, you know, states where they think that they can make inroads, or they have been making inroads piece by piece, you know, like Colorado, I think we can expect them to redouble their efforts. And that would be a defeat, I think, for Second Amendment activists like ourselves, because it would embolden the other side to go after this fundamental civil liberty. So yeah. I'm with you. I'm trying to be optimistic. I believe that I am an eternal optimist. So I am trying to put those good vibes out there.
We need him.
But we do. I am a little concerned about what happens next week. But we live to fight another day with the Snope and Ocean State Tactical. And hopefully the justices who are in favor of taking this case are going to be persuasive in talking to their colleagues about the need to answer these questions. And again, to affirm that our right to keep and bear arms is not a second class right. The Supreme Court has told us this on multiple occasions, Mark. And yet, if the Supreme Court says, yeah, it's not a second class right, but you know what? States can ban the most commonly owned rifles in the country without impacting the Second Amendment. That turns it into a second class right. So yeah, I just want the court to be consistent here.
Sure. And that's why this case is so bad. There's a lot of different rabbit holes in this case. As I said, it checks all the boxes. And it does. It checks every single box. I don't know that there's a more perfect case out there or coming up behind it that would check any other box that this case hasn't already checked. Again, viewers, we're talking about the Snopes case, the Maryland Fourth Circuit assault weapons ban case. When you talk about the other side being emboldened, this is what is, it's scary. And here's why. And you touched on this. They know they're not going to move anything at the federal level, at least over the next 2 years and 4 years, let's be honest, because Trump is sitting behind the Resolute desk. There's no way he's going to sign any gun bans. And they know that. So what are they going to do? They're doubling up their efforts in the states. And we're already seeing that happen. You mentioned Colorado. Washington is doing it. Imagine what will come next when California is emboldened. Imagine what will come next when Illinois is emboldened. And I'm talking about not getting a negative decision in a case that makes it to a decision, but not getting cert at all.
Right.
Because the other side views this as a victory. Now, look, let's be frank. Let's be honest. If it were reversed, we would probably do the same thing. Yeah, look, they tried to ban guns that we've said they said we can't ban, and they didn't. They weren't. We would take that as a victory as well. And that's what the other side is going to do. But they're going to do it with millions and millions of dollars of Bloomberg's money. The media is on their side in this case. They're going to frame this as a quote unquote stinging defeat for the gun rights lobby. Imagine how they're going to approach this going forward. They will approach this as a setback for Trump moving forward, which will only embolden them, not at the federal level, but even more so at the state level. So those of you that are living behind the blue wall here had better be paying very careful attention here. Hochul on steroids, Murphy, whatever time he has left in his term, he's got an election coming up soon, on steroids. They will use this against us, and they will have the ammo in their satchel to do it. And I feel confident when you look at every single box that is checked, again, the eternal optimism coming out, that this case will be heard because it does check all the boxes. I can't imagine, and we won't know the answer. They won't tell us why they didn't.
Right.
And that's what will frustrate us. Why? Because we won't know what to do going forward when we've already got a case that checked every box. What other box is there? How are we going to approach this? How is the Second Amendment Foundation going to view upcoming cases when this case appears to be so clear-cut, has gone through the process, and every box was checked? What do we do next? That's the frustration we're going to face. And honest to God, ladies and gentlemen, if you're living behind the blue wall, this is huge. Now, if they refuse to grant cert, that doesn't mean you can't have your AR-15. It only means that those of you that live behind the blue walls, what blue walls there are right now, California is rapidly shifting. I believe we're going to see California turn red faster than we ever deemed, particularly with the tragedies going on out there right now. But it doesn't mean they're going to take away your guns. It doesn't mean they can be banned. It just means that if you live in a free state, you're going to continue to be free. If you don't, you're going to continue to not be free. And they will approach this as, look, we have the blessing from the Supreme Court to ban these guns in these states. I cannot overemphasize just how important this case is. I will feel a huge level of disappointment and depression and sadness if the Supreme Court doesn't take this case personally. We have to get this case heard. And I don't know of anything other behind it that's strong enough to get there that checks any additional box that this one already hasn't, to use that term over and over again. And it will frustrate the movement forward. There's no question about it.
Yeah. Well, all right. Let's put that optimism out there into the universe, Mark. And
it's there, baby.
I tell you what, man, let's do another Mondays with Mark next Monday. And hopefully we'll have some good news to report. How about we do that?
Yes, I hope we have good news Tuesday and you and I are talking about it, what happened 6 days ago. That would be huge. I would love to have an answer. We expect an answer on this. As you know, Cam, it can come at any moment between now and Wednesday, likely. So keep our fingers crossed. I'm hoping when I hit the airwaves today at 4 o'clock, I'm able to report some really positive news on this Snopes case. We're finally going to move forward here.
All right, Mark, thanks so much, man. We'll talk to you soon.
God bless you, Cam. Thanks, man. Love you.
Love you too, man. Talk to you soon. My thanks once again to Mark, and looking forward to having him back again on the program next Monday. Tomorrow, by the way, we're going to be talking with Larry Keene from the National Shooting Sports Foundation about this gun ban bill in Colorado, the sweeping semi-auto ban. And AI gunners have been trying for several years to get a gun ban passed in Colorado, and they are thinking this is going to be the year that they can make it happen. Will Governor Jared Polis go along, or will he reject this bill if it gets to his desk? We'll be talking about that again with Larry Keene from the National Shooting Sports Foundation on tomorrow's Cam and Company. Right now, let's turn our attention to today's Armed Citizen story, our good deed of the day, and our recidivist report. We will start there with a case out of Michigan. Pontiac man out on bond, charged in string of Rochester Hills home invasions. Oakland County Sheriff Mike Bouchard says this is the latest example of a repeat offender who should have been behind bars awaiting trial instead of being out on the street. He said, "I'm proud of our team and the work and many hours they put into identifying, locating, and arresting this habitual offender. Sadly, once again, we have an individual with multiple arrests for illegal weapons back out on the street," adding he was actually out on probation for weapons charges and on bail with additional weapons charges when we arrested him with yet another weapon. "This has to stop," he said. "Thank heavens no one was hurt in this crime spree that he committed in Rochester Hills." Late last year, in fact, just before the turn of the new year, the sheriff called on lawmakers, as well as judges across the state, to reconsider early release policies after a Christmas Eve shooting spree in Oxford Township, Michigan, in which a parolee, Malik Webb, allegedly committed these heinous acts after Bouchard said he'd been charged with weapons offenses seven times in just over 9 years. In this most recent case, an individual named Frankie Stephen Humpkins charged with a string of home invasions and theft in Rochester Hills. He has prior felony convictions for fraud, larceny, breaking and entering. He was released on bond after being charged with felony firearm possession in Grand Rapids. Also out on probation in relation to a felony firearm possession charge in Kent County, Michigan. And according to Sheriff Bouchard, he is a suspect in more than 25 incidents between December 22nd and the 29th of December, where he allegedly broke into unlocked homes and vehicles. When he was arrested, there was a loaded pistol found in his vehicle during the arrest. Now, again, he is a convicted felon. Some of these, you know, again, fraud, larceny, breaking and entering, maybe non-violent offenses. So you could argue that maybe those felony convictions should not amount automatically to a deprivation of Humpkins' Second Amendment rights. I think, however, given his prolific history, it is likely that a judge, even if you were looking at an individualized finding of dangerousness, I think it's likely that a judge would say, okay, Humpkins meets that bill here because of his previous criminal history. And again, the question is, why was he out on the streets? Why did he keep getting these slaps on the wrist? Despite, again, what are supposedly, in the state of Michigan, pretty serious charges. Now, today's Armed Citizen story from Roswell, New Mexico, where police say they are investigating a shooting death as a case of self-defense. While they have not officially ruled this a case of self-defense, it sure sounds like that is indeed what happened there in Roswell, New Mexico. Police were called out to a shooting on a Friday night. When they arrived, they found 27-year-old Alvin Cedillo with multiple gunshot wounds. Police believe that Cedillo was the initial aggressor in this incident, threatening a man and his girlfriend with a gun, demanding their phones and other personal items, and then demanding to be taken to a different location. According to police, when the man refused, police say Cedillo shot at him and his girlfriend, at least one of whom returned fire. We don't know if it was the man and his girlfriend, the man or his girlfriend, we don't know. But we do know that Cedillo was shot multiple times. He was pronounced dead at the scene by medics. Police say the male target of Cedillo's aggression suffered non-life-threatening injuries. No charges have been filed against the injured man or his girlfriend at this point in time. And again, police believe that, at least at this point, investigating this as a case of self-defense. So we'll keep our eyes open for any more additional information as it becomes available. And finally today, our good deed of the day. This is where we get into the TMI update. Because there is no question that the folks who need to be recognized for their good deed are all of those folks who reached out to me, whether it was, you know, a text or a phone call or an email, condolence card, direct message on X, just to let me know that my family was in their prayers and they were thinking about us. You know, I talked a little bit about this with Mark on the show today, but it is true. That support has mattered. It has made a difference. It has made a couple of very crummy weeks a little bit easier to tolerate, and has given me the strength to help give me the strength to be the father that I need to be, to be the man that I need to be for, you know, those that I care about, including Missy, who is no longer with us in person, but is very much with us in spirit. So it was a rough December, as you well know. I was away for most of the month of December. Missy went into the hospital on December the 8th, and she passed away about 8:45 New Year's Day on January the 1st. I would be lying if I said that I was okay. I've been asked countless times, how you doing since Missy passed? And the honest answer is, I guess I'm doing about as well as can be expected, right? There are times every day where the grief is overwhelming. There are times every day where I can recognize and be grateful for the blessings that we received. And we received so many, from the fact that Missy was diagnosed with cancer almost 8.5 years ago. It was Memorial Day weekend of 2016. Missy went to the ER because she thought she was having a heart attack. Turns out it was actually gas pains, but they took a chest x-ray, and that's when they found a mass in her lung. They thought it was pneumonia at the time. We didn't know that it was cancer until roughly Labor Day of 2016. But it was a pretty big mass at that point in May, to the point that she had to have an entire lobe of her lung removed. The fact that not only did she survive for almost 8.5 years, but she thrived for most of that time period, to me, is not only a blessing, but it is a miracle. And I believe that it is a miracle that came about because of my prayers and your prayers and the grace of God to ensure that, her biggest fears were not realized. When she was first diagnosed, one of the biggest things that she was concerned about is what's going to happen to the kids. Our youngest were, 11 at the time. She was homeschooling our youngest son. She was terrified that she would pass away before our youngest kids had graduated. She got to see them graduate. We got to have a last Christmas together. She got a chance to spend time, real quality time, with every one of her kids, as well as with me. So again, there's a lot to be grateful for amidst the grief and the loss and the sorrow. And I am doing my best to be cognizant of all of the blessings that she received, that I've received, that my family has received. And I am certainly aware of the support that we have received from folks like you. So again, thank you. I really appreciate it. Missy was a special person, as you well know. And there is a there's a Miss E-sized hole in my heart and soul and life that I don't think can be filled. But we'll find a way to soldier on. We will put one foot in front of the other. She would not want me or my family to wallow in depression, to be paralyzed by grief, and so I will not be. And I'm going to do everything that I can to honor her memory going forward. So we'll have a celebration of life at some point in the spring. I'll probably let you guys know what's going on with that. We'll have the opportunity for folks to attend virtually. Trying to make it very Miss E-centric. She did not want a funeral. winter was her least favorite time of year. So I want to do something on the farm when, you know, it was her favorite time of year, a time of renewal and a time of growth. So we'll be doing that here in a few months. And in the meantime, you know, I'm just going to try to honor her by living as she lived, caring for others, creating something new, trying to make herself better every day. Those are lessons that I'm trying to take away and live on my own. So again, thank you for all the support that you've given me and my family. It is truly appreciated. And I will ask for your patience. Going back to work is weird. It is weird. I will say that not having a normal set routine over the past couple of weeks has actually been a little helpful, because everything has just been so strange and unusual. Settling into what has been my routine, only now she's not here, that's a little freaky. That's hard. So again, I will ask for your patience going forward. And I look forward to seeing you again here tomorrow. Larry Keene is going to join us from the National Shooting Sports Foundation. We'll be talking again about the Colorado gun ban bill. But be sure to check out BearingArms.com throughout the day for the latest Second Amendment news and information. And as long as I'm giving thanks, I gave thanks to you, but I also want to give thanks. I wrote about this in Bearing Arms today, but Tom Knighton, John Petrolino, Ranjit Singh, Ryan Petty, Jonathan Garthwaite, Storm Paglia, Micah Raitt, all of the folks at Town Hall Media. I could not ask for better colleagues, truly. So I owe them a big thank you as well. And I hope that not only will you show me support, but you'll show them support too. So thank you again for tuning into the program. I'm looking forward to seeing you again tomorrow. Until then, be well. Be safe. Be free. And in the words of the sea, make stuff. See you here soon with another edition of Bearing Arms. Can't wait.